You're listening to the Qalam Institute podcast series, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Qalam Institute.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafaa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa, khususan ala sayyidi rusul wa khatam al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, previously we talked about it in the previous nights, the Battle of Badr, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to the Muslims when they were few in number. And then we talked about the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah and how that was such a miraculous event that took place, that very few people were injured during that battle. Only a few people were martyred during that. It was not even a battle, it's a conquest. They walked in, but just a few people gave a little, a little trouble, a little tough time to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, southern invading army. And then we talked about the Khalid ibn Tariq bin Ziyad, rahimahullah ta'ala, rahmatan wasi'ah's conquest of Al-Andalus. And today I wanted to talk about a very important event that also took place in the month of Ramadan. And this battle is known as the Battle of Hittin. And the one who walked into the battlefield with the army from the Muslim side, the leader from the Muslim side in this great battle, was none other than Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, rahimahullah ta'ala, rahmatan wasi'ah. But in order to understand the significance of this battle, you have to understand what was happening at that time. So this was a time when the Crusaders had invaded the Muslim lands. And an empire, the Muslim empire, which had grown so large and wide, was now slowly shrinking. And the few cities and towns and countries that remained in the hands of the Muslims were just there by the name of, for the sake of name. In reality, more or less the entire governance was run by the Crusaders. But they had kept certain people in their positions just for the sake of, you know, keeping the people happy. But otherwise, they controlled the entire communities, entire cities. And what had become common, the common way that the Crusaders were controlling the Muslims, and this is a big point of reflection for us, was first thing, the power of their intelligence system. They had placed spies everywhere. Okay? And these spies were not Crusader spies, they were Muslim spies who reported to the Crusaders. The second thing, they would poison anyone that would come in their way. So they had these people called the Hashishi group or the Fida'i group, and these were all Muslims, by the way. They would hire them, and they would poison, and they would remove, assassinate anyone they paid for. So all the Muslim leaders, the great rulers, it is said regarding Nuruddin, the teacher of Salahuddin, that he was also poisoned, and he was killed. So great figures were killed at the hands of these assassins who more or less, again, the Crusaders controlled. And the third thing, the Muslims who were ruling the countries at the time, the Crusaders were controlling them through their finances. And the Muslim rulers had treaties with these people. So they would say that we will listen to everything you say, we will give you tax, just don't attack us. Let us remain as rulers, let us remain as leaders. So a few people, in order to secure their seats, had given up the reality of Islam and had lost the essence and spirit of Islam within their communities. At a time like this, it was such a difficult time. Allahu Akbar. You know, the Muslim armies from the time of the Sahaba, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, Abu Ubaidah bin al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu, at the order of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu, and the many, many Sahaba who gave their lives and fought to conquer Syria, who fought to conquer Palestine, who fought and gave their lives to conquer Egypt, now these countries had more or less left the hands of the Muslims. And Islam had begun to shrink off the map of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi to this world, and he was born in 523 years after migration. And Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi's real name was Yusuf bin Ayyub. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that his birth was very unique. When his mother was expecting him, she saw a dream. And in her dream, she saw that she was bearing in her womb a sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. And the second unique thing that happened was that when he was born, his father and his family, they would live inside a fort. They used to live inside a fort. Everyone used to live in forts that day, in those days, because there was so much war happening. So in order to give themselves security, they used to live in forts. So his father used to live in a fort. And some incidents that took place with his uncle and so on resulted in his father and the family being kicked out the day Sultan Salahuddin was born. His father was very upset. And he used to always say regarding Sultan Salahuddin, at that time Salahuddin, that he is a source of misfortune. That the day he was born, we were kicked out of our houses. And whenever Salahuddin would cry, his father would get angry. And his father at times had even threatened to kill Salahuddin. Until one of his servants said to his father, that how could you kill this innocent child? He hasn't done anything at all. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans in very unique ways. Because Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi could not become the Salahuddin Ayyubi he was until he left that fort. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want him to live a day inside that fort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him right after his birth exactly where he needed to be for him to become Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi. Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi was a master in two things. You have to remember this. One was his knowledge in warfare and intelligence. And the second thing was his piety. And these two things, one of the things he could have possibly gained from that fort, he could have possibly gained that the knowledge of warfare and armies and how to be a general, he could have probably gained that from that fort. But the piety aspect, he couldn't get from that fort. Now when the family was, when they were exiled from the fort and when they were leaving, Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi's father, he said to the family that let me take you to a person who I did a favor to many years ago who is now in a leading position. His name was Imaduddin. And Imaduddin, along with Nuruddin, these were the two people who actually made Salahuddin into who he was. When Salahuddin grew up inside that fort, Imaduddin obviously open-handedly, he welcomed them in, he took them in. And now when Salahuddin was growing up inside that fort, he gained so much knowledge. Salahuddin Ayyubi, they say regarding him, that he was Hafidh of the Qur'an. They say regarding Salahuddin Ayyubi that he was a master in the Shafi'i fiqh. He had memorized text, so many textbooks of the Shafi'i fiqh off by heart. Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi would enjoy sitting in the company of the scholars. He was a student of hadith, but his respect for hadith was so great that they say that he never stood up while listening to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He would always sit down first out of adab for the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A man like him, now growing up in the middle of countries that had sold out to the crusaders, was like a gem. It was like a light. Something they had, you know, not even imagined of. A person like this. They say regarding Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, never in his life did he ever miss salat with jama'at. And when he became ruler, if he found his soldiers were missing tahajjud salah, he would say to them, tomorrow don't say you lost because we had few in number. Tomorrow say you lost because you didn't pray your tahajjud salah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a man of taqwa. He never gazed at haram. He would never drink wine or alcohol. He was a very pious person. He never engaged in extravagance. And now the Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, he grows. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him into this great man who was so powerful and so influential. He's so righteous. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the journey of Salahuddin Ayyubi's conquest, it starts from Egypt. Where does it start from? It all starts from Egypt. He becomes a leader. He is appointed as a leader of Egypt. And when he becomes a leader of Egypt, Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, when he walks into the offices of where he will be ruling, the first thing that you have to know, and this is the most important thing, whenever we talk about Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, what comes to your mind? Crusaders, war, Palestine. When the reality is that these things happen at the last part of his life. Very few people know what Salahuddin Ayyubi did for the first 10 years when he became a leader. Let me tell you what he did today. When Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi became a leader, before he decided to make the offense, he had to deal with internal affairs. You guys understand that? So all the Muslim people, all these people who were quote-unquote Muslims, who were rulers that had sold out to the Crusades, he had to first deal with them. The armies that were given to him were all infiltrated. They were all corrupted. He had to deal with them. He fought for 10 years against Muslims before he even laid his eyes against the Crusaders. For 10 years, he fought against Muslims, dealing with them, dealing with the corruption, and dealing with these people. I'll just give you one example. When Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi is appointed as a leader in Egypt, when he enters into the offices, when he enters into this big palace where all the offices are, when he enters there, one person comes, all the rulers come to receive him, and one of the leaders, his name was Naji. This Naji was the one who was in charge of the armed forces of Egypt. He had an army of 50,000 Sudanese soldiers who were so skilled and so powerful that they say in warfare, if they went past their enemy, if they didn't strike their enemy with the sword down, they can lift the enemy off the horse and bring them onto their horse. Imagine the strength they had. Imagine the speed they had. These people were something. But this entire army, belonged to the Fatimi Empire. And the Fatimi Khilafah was a Shi'i Khilafah. And Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi had trouble with the Shi'i Khilafah that was established in Misr before he came and established the Sunni Khilafah. Keep that in mind, okay? Now, when he comes in, he sees this Naji, he meets him. Now, Naji was a person who ruled the entire army, but at the same time, you have to understand, he was a very corrupted person. He had ties with the Crusaders. He would do whatever he wanted to. All of his soldiers were, they used to drink wine, and they would, you know, go to gatherings that where women would dance, and it was a very bad environment. And when he heard that Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi was coming to Egypt, he thought to himself that people say he's a pious man, he's young, it'll fade away. Once he comes into our rule, once he comes into our palace, we'll change him. This was his mind, that he was going to corrupt Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi. And he did whatever he could to corrupt Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi. Now Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, when he saw this person, he had some idea that something's wrong. You know how we say in Urdu, "Dal mein kuch kala hai?" There's something's wrong here. This guy's too nice. You know, when someone's too mean, that's bad. When someone's too nice, then you also say, "Ah, something's off right now. Something's a little suspicious." So Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, he learned something from the Crusaders, which was the power of intelligence in warfare, of having people around who can keep you up to date with everything that's happening. And his chief minister of the intelligence department of his was a person by the name of Ali bin Sufyan. What was his name? Ali bin Sufyan. He called Ali bin Sufyan, and Ali bin Sufyan was the one person who Sultan really trusted. He really trusted him. Other than him, he didn't trust too many people. Many of you may not know, but there were no less than, way more than 10 assassination attempts on Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi. Over how many attempts? 10. From his own soldiers at times. From his own men at times. So there were very few people who he trusted right from the beginning. He called this Ali bin Sufyan and said to him, "This guy right here, I have a problem with him. Something's not right. Keep an eye on him." So Ali bin Sufyan said, "No problem, I'll take care of everything." Later on, Ali bin Sufyan realized that this Naji person had very bad intentions for Sultan. His intention was to first of all corrupt him. And he had taken an oath that he would make Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi commit zina and drink wine. And these were things that were outside the mind of Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi. Like, you know, beyond his imagination. And then if that didn't work, he made intention that he was going to kill and assassinate Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi. So the first thing this Ali bin Sufyan did was, he had the personal guards of Salahuddin Ayyubi changed immediately. You guys understand that? The guards that were supposed to guard him were from the previous ruler. Immediately he had them all changed. He said, "All of you guys, jazakallah khair, assalamu alaikum, jazakallah, have a nice day." And he brought in his own group of people. He said, "Now you guys are going to guard Salahuddin Ayyubi." The second thing he did was, the 50,000 army that was a stronghold in Egypt, he realized they were all Sudanese. And they were all from one country. And their allegiance was to their country and not to the Sultan. So with the advice of the Sultan, he began to recruit soldiers from Egypt. And he recruited a large number of soldiers from Egypt and then mixed the army up. You guys understand that? He mixed the army up. So now there was no longer a majority. And this was one of the principles of Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi in warfare. He always made sure there were no more than 10% of an individual country of soldiers inside one army. You guys understand that? He always diversified it to make sure that there was never a large plan made and he would be caught off guard. You guys understand that? By anything, if anyone was going to go against him, it was going to be how many percent at maximum? 10%. He always had 90% ready. He was very smart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him great intelligence. Okay? And like this, he neutralized the situation. So like this, Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, you have to understand, the first years of his life, he was just dealing with internal politics. Then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it for him such that the opportunity came for him and he had taken control over the Muslim lands, and now it was time for him to march towards the Crusaders. Now when Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi was gathering all this strength, the Muslim rulers who were still on the side of the Crusaders, they realized that if Sultan comes in control and he defeats the Crusaders, we will all have to lose our seats. So they became very worried. And what they did was, they started going to the prisons and releasing the Crusader soldiers, letting them all out. And the reason why they would let them out of the prisons was because these soldiers would obviously go and fight against Salahuddin, and hopefully Salahuddin would die. Allah, but imagine this. He is not only fighting against the enemy, he's also fighting against his own people, his own friends. Look where the ummah was and look where the ummah is today. Wallahi, it seems like we're talking about the 21st century when we're talking about the time of Salahuddin Ayyubi. It sounds like we're talking about the 21st century today. When I'm reading the history, I feel like, am I reading 500-year Hijri or 1400 Hijri? I can't tell the difference. It seems like 900 years, the world really hasn't changed much. And here, they were letting him out. Now, one of the people who they released from the prisons was a person by the name of Reginald. What was his name? Reginald. Reginald de Chatelain, this was his name. He's a very important person. Because as soon as he was released by the Muslims to fight against Salahuddin, what Reginald did was he immediately got an army together and he took an oath by saying, I will march towards Mecca and destroy the Kaaba. And then I will go to Medina and take the camel herder, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's body, from Medina, take it back to my palace, and I will charge Muslims to see the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the first thing he did. Now, it happened that when he took his army to the port, and they were supposed to board the ships to cross over, to head towards Hijaz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a storm and they couldn't climb. Now, they couldn't travel. The second thing now. What he started doing was that he used to stay in the deserts. He had a small group of people, strong soldiers. And what he did was, anytime he would see a group of people going for Hajj or Umrah, he would stop them and he would kill them all one by one. And when killing them, he would say, before he would take their head off, he would say, if you follow Muhammad, let me see Muhammad come and save you today. And he would then take their head off. If you listen to Muhammad, if you follow Muhammad, let me see him save you today. And then take their head off. Reginald, one by one, he would take their heads off. Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, when he heard this, he raised his sword to the sky and he said, Wallahi al-Azim, I will take his head off. He dishonors the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Wallahi al-Azim, I will take revenge for him. Now just remember that story, okay? We're going to come back to Reginald very soon. Now the Battle of Hattin is taking place. Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi prepares this large army and in front of the crusaders. But no matter how large his army was, the crusaders always outnumbered them. So Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi realized that there was only one way to win. He was a very smart person. Rather than attacking the forts where the crusaders were, he went to the fort where the crusaders' wives and children used to live. You guys understand that? He went to that fort, and he surrounded that one. Now, obviously, if the crusaders had any ghayra inside them, right, any self-respect, they were going to come to defend their wives and children. So they started coming their way. Now, the historians say that the actual journey between where the armies were and where the families were of the crusaders was no more than half a day. How long was the journey? No more than half a day. It was a half a day journey. And half a day they were going to be there. Now, the second mistake Salahuddin Ayyubi made, the first mistake they thought he made was that he came after their family. They were angry. The second mistake that Salahuddin Ayyubi made was that when he positioned his army, he kept the sea behind him. So now these Christians were so large in number, they thought, you know what we're going to do? We're going to come in a large group, hold our shields up, keep pushing forward and push them inside the sea. Finish story. You guys understand that? They said Salahuddin Ayyubi is the greatest fool that we've ever seen. Now we're going to destroy him. But they didn't know Salahuddin Ayyubi wasn't a fool. He was very smart. The only way to get the lion out of his den was to go after what the lion loved the most, the family. He stood around the family. The reason why he kept the sea behind him was because the sea was going to be very important. Now that half-day journey, Salahuddin Ayyubi strategically placed archers on the hills everywhere. And he said to them, you have to slow them down. The journey cannot be completed in half a day. Okay? First thing. Second thing. This all took place in summer, which means it was very hot outside. So when you're hot, what happens to you feel? So what Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi did was he ordered his men poison all the wells on the way. All the wells from there to here, poison them all. Now there's only one healthy water supply, and guess where it is? It's right behind me. There's only one healthy water supply, and guess where it is? It's right behind me. If you want water, you're going to have to get through me. They stand there now. Now this journey that was supposed to take no less than half a day extended for a very long time. Many soldiers were dying just through the arrows, and many of them were thirsty and they had lost their energy. They weren't in the state of fighting anymore. Now when the morning came for the Battle of Hattin, the big battle that took place in the month of Ramadan, Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi did a third thing that was very intelligent of it. Very intelligent. He realized the wind was blowing in their direction. So now if the wind's blowing in their direction, what can he do? What would you do? Throw the sand? That's not going to work. He played very smart. What he did was, he realized that they were thirsty. And he realized they were also injured. So what he did was, he took wood, burned it, and let the smoke go in their direction. Carbon monoxide. You guys understand? And the wind took the smoke of the fire in their direction and smoked them all out. And they were so sick, most of them couldn't even stand properly. And then Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi said, Wa Islama. What did he say? That was a call they used to have in war. They used to say, Wa Islama, which means Islam, oh Islam. And they rushed in their direction. And one by one, they destroyed the entire army, just like that. It was something history had never seen before. Now, after Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi was victorious in the Battle of Hattin, one more thing that you have to remember, that he didn't stop there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he was victorious in the Battle of Hattin, when finally the crusaders lost and their flags and their crosses fell down, what did Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi do? What would you think? You know, take his turban, throw it in the air, you know, maybe start doing like, you know, jumping in the air, like confetti, balloons everywhere. We did it, big party. Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi got off his horse and he went into sajda. And he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because these people knew that victory only came through the help of Allah azza wa jal. And then after the sultan, he began to march towards Palestine. And when he came to Palestine, he was about to wage war against them. But the crusader said, if you fight against us, we will kill every single person that's a Muslim inside the walls of Palestine. Sultan said, I won't let anyone die. I'm willing to come to terms with you. And after coming to terms with them, Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, he walked inside Palestine. And like I said the other day, when Sultan walked in Palestine, he had his hand holding the ropes and his head was lowered down in humbleness, like the Prophet ﷺ was humbled the day he conquered Makkah Mukarramah. And when Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi came in, he called for the minbar that Nuruddin, his teacher, had made while his teacher was alive. And his teacher's dream was to take that minbar and put it inside Masjid al-Aqsa. And Sultan took that minbar, he put it in Masjid al-Aqsa and gave a historical speech from there. And after giving the speech, Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, he gathered all the leaders, and all the leaders that came in front of them, they were all thirsty. And Sultan gave them all a cup of water, except for one. And giving a cup of water was a sign that I'm going to let you live. But he didn't give it to one person. That one person's name was Reginald de Chatillon. He didn't give him water. So one of the other leaders gave him some water. He said, drink some of mine. So he drank it very quickly. He thought he was safe. Sultan said, I didn't give it to you. He gave it to you. He can give you peace if he wants to, not from me. Then after, Sultan said to him, that look, I give you one option, and I'm only going to say it once. I offer Islam to you. He said, no. Sultan then said to Reginald, that then I will say to you something that I've been waiting to say to you for years. That every time you kill people, you ask, where is Muhammad? Well, Muhammad couldn't make it, but this is his slave conveying a message on his behalf to you. And Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi took off his sword and he ended this person's oppression and zulm and he put down Reginald de Chatillon. Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, after this, he moved on to Dimashq in Syria and he lived there and he became very, very ill at the last part of his life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanAllah, in year 583 after Hijrah, Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi became very sick and he ordered his men, he couldn't leave his tent, so he ordered the men in his group that all I want in the last moments of my life, I want people to gather around me and read the Quran. And some men were appointed, they would stand, sit around Salahuddin Ayyubi and read Quran while he was passing away. And he used to just listen, and days and days passed by, and he used to just listen to the Quran. And he would continue to read his salah with jamaat, never missed a salah with jamaat. Such a pious and righteous person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that if you are believers, Allah will give you victory. But you have to become believers first. You have to believe in Allah first. They say Sultan never ever let anyone from his soldiers ever miss Fajr salah with jamaat. Imagine this. And Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi was lying there and they say one person was standing next to him and he was reading the verses of the Quran and he came to the ayah لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ. And if they turn away, tell them Allah is enough for me. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. There is no one except for Allah. There is no one to worship other than Allah. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ. On Allah I rely. When this part of the ayah came, Sultan, he sat up and he pointed towards the sky and he read his shahada. And then after this, Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi passed away. Allahu Akbar, the historians say the entire world cried when Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi passed away. Because he was a light of hope in a time of darkness. He wasn't only a warrior, he was a spiritual man. He was a pious man. He was a role model. He made men like men should be. You know, great historians say that from the time of Khalid and Walid in the Battle of Yarmouk, there was no victory that took place until we saw the Battle of Hattin, what kind of victory that was. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used him to serve the deen. These were great men. And this was a nation that has passed by. Tilka ummatun qad khalat. That is a nation that has gone. Laha ma kasabat, for that nation will be what they earn. Walakum ma kasabtum, and for you will be what you earn. Wala tus'aluna amma kanu ya'malun. You will not be asked regarding them. They will not be asked regarding you. We ask that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us all the tawfiq and ability to be strong men. If you want to conquer the world, first learn to conquer yourself. First learn to be a good person. The last thing we want is a Muslim khilafah, an Islamic khilafah that rules over the world, but the khalifa is a corrupted man. History has already seen this before. We don't want that again. The last thing we want is Muslim majority where the majority is corrupted, because we've already seen that before. Why do we want to open up that page of history again? We'd rather remain as a minority, but strong, rather than being a majority and weak. What good is numbers that don't have any weight inside them? Let us be people of the Akhirah. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to act on what has been said. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Akhir da'wana, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.